So kingdom greetings to each one of you. Man, we're so blessed with Bibles, aren't we? I have a lot of Bibles. You know, talking about Bibles, we thank God for our phones, our tablets, and computers. But I encourage you. I challenge you to have a Bible, physical Bible. And I challenge you to carry it. Now, get me right. I have nothing against your Bibles and your phone. It's awesome. It's good. I love it. I've got 60 in my phone, on my iPad, concordance and all that stuff. But my challenge for each one of us is fall in love with your Bible. Have one. Know it. Know the pages. Okay, if you didn't have one, I'm not going to buy you one. Okay? Because that's one thing I think people shouldn't get for free. You know, sometimes, you know, you go in the evangelistic meeting and you give them a Bible for free. But I think a Bible is something you should invest in. Because it is the most important thing in our life. The Word of God is powerful. You know, I was thinking last week, I said, okay, no, I felt like I was very excited about the sermon last week. And then, of course, I went to Jesus. I'm like, okay, Lord, now what? Sometimes that's the question I ask Jesus. Lord, what? What do you want me to say? Lord, now what? And it was funny. He said, I was reading, of course, I'm reading Matthew, Luke, reading the rest of the story. And what came to me was, the tomb is empty. What happened next? The tomb is empty. What happened next? So, open your Bibles. If you don't have one, I've got three up here I can lend you. But at the same time, we're going to put it on the screen for your convenience. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is the truth. It is the foundation. And we stand on it today. May the Holy Spirit take what belongs to your heart and reveal it to our heart. Use these words from my mouth to teach me first, God, and then to teach your sons and your daughter, to equip them for every good works. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the other thing that caught my attention this week, it's like, you know, you read the Bible, you'll never get used to the Word of God. The Word of God becomes fresh every day. It's new every day. Every time you open the Bible, it should be so fresh. So my message today comes from John chapter 20, verse 19 to 31, because that's what I was reading. And then I just went back, chapter 20, verse 1. Let's go back to chapter 20, verse 1 in your Bible. It says, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone has been rolled away from the entrance. Now, I'm not going to read from verse 1 to verse 19. But for the first time, I read that verse. You know what came in my mind? Oh, I pitied the guys that said, women should speak in church. You know, there are people, they're so strong, they're so religious. And I'm reading this again. I shared it with Kathy and Kendra last night. I'm like, hang on. I forgot about this verse. Jesus rose from the dead. Guess who encountered Jesus the first? A woman. So who are we? Man, if there would be any women in the house, there should be a big, yes, hallelujah. Who can keep you away from your father? Nobody. No religion. No denomination. And then this lady is the lady that was delivered from 7 evil spirits. But she was hungry. She was grieving for our Lord, for her Lord. Early in the morning, not Peter, not even John, who the Bible calls the most loved disciple. She went first. So ladies, and I was thinking, I'm like, okay, why do you see sometimes a lot of women in the church and you're like, where are the men? You know, it's okay. There's room for you. You know, because you're like, man, where are the men? That's why, I mean, I'm going to put emphasis again this weekend. Saturday morning, guys, invite a friend, come together. We're going to have great food. What? Right, Captain? You know? So it's going to be good. There's going to be good food. But we're going to talk about why we need vision and purpose. Why the enemy is after us, men. God created, I better not give out my message. Hang on. Let's go back. But this is just a little window from what I was reading to realize again, wow, Jesus, even before he went up to Father, who encountered him? A woman. Ladies, keep pursuing God's heart. You will encounter him. And I read this, I'm like, okay, I want to be like her. Okay, so then what happened next? I jump to verse 19. That Sunday evening, remember Sunday morning, as a matter of fact, she was the first evangelist. Because Jesus told her to go and told my disciples that I've been, you know, I'm alive. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors. I'm going to read from the New Living Translations, locked doors. Because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said twice, peace be with you. Why? Because Jesus knew they didn't have peace. Jesus knew those guys, they were troubled. I don't know what's troubling you today. I read this week, even last night again, I said, oh Lord, I receive your peace. Would you receive God's peace today? He said, peace I give unto you, nothing. There's nothing we can search for that would give us peace. But the King of Kings came in the middle of the disciples' trouble. Worried, they were worried, afraid. Locked doors, appeared in their midst and said, peace be unto you twice. Second time, it says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Then he breathed unto them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This verse you should underline in your Bible. It says, receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about what happened next. The tomb is empty, but then what happened next? It says, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, let me open a small window on this verse right here. You know, I'm not shooting on Catholics or anything, but I know there are religion that think you should go to the Father or the priest. Now, remember, the Bible says to confess your sin to one another. But the one another, you need to be careful who that one another is. It must be a person, a trustworthy person, a mature person. Because there are people that they're not trustworthy. When you tell them something, they go and broadcast it in their house or with their friends. You know, that's why God will give you godly people you can trust. They are around you. But here, this verse, I was doing some research this week. Some people base their, you know, kind of religious whatever on this verse, saying they need to go to someone to ask for forgiveness. Now let me break it to you again. I'm going to preach to the choir. You already know it. Maybe you didn't know. We don't have the power. This verse is not saying here we have the ability to forgive other people's sin. Now if you come to me, you confess a sin. In the name of Jesus, according to the word of God, because the Bible says if you confess your sin to one another, you will be healed. You will be forgiven. But who forgive? Me or Christ? Christ. Never forget that. If you have anything that's troubling you, something you can't break loose of, you know, you can't break off of your life, you feel like you need to confess, you find someone trustworthy enough, you confess that sin, we pray for you, but then Jesus forgive you. And at the same time, this interpretation from this, I really love the Passion Translation. It says, I will send you to preach the forgiveness of sin. So that means we are called to preach the forgiveness of sin. Preaching forgiveness of sin comes with a message of repentance. So it says, people's sin will be forgiven as you preach, which means you preach the good news. You don't preach judgment. It is God's love that leads us to repentance, not God's judgment. Right now, there's no judgment. I told you a story before where my wife told me I was really mad at my dad and I was ready to take vengeance. You know, the Bible says, God says vengeance is mine, right? But I felt like I was in a position to really take vengeance, to get him to pay for what he did to me back in the years. And then my wife said, now remember, this is not a season for judgment. That hit me hard. I think about it, then I realize this is a moment for grace. We all want grace, right? Anybody here wants more grace from Jesus? Oh, yes. Let me try again. Anybody here wants more grace? Hallelujah. I want grace. I want mercy. I want love. I want forgiveness. You know what? I want direct access from Father when I come. No judgment. And that's the case. There's grace. There's mercy. But there's forgiveness. But I won't be forgiven of my sin unless I forgive others, no matter what they've done. That's the gospel. I sent you to preach the good news, the message of forgiveness of sin. And people's sin will be forgiven. But if you don't proclaim the forgiveness of their sins, they will remain guilty. That's why we vow here in this church to preach the word. I want to hide behind the word. If you have any trouble with me, please go fight with this. That's why I'm trying to base my personal conviction on the word. Okay? You already know I like navy blue, okay? But you don't have to fight with me if you don't like navy blue. The Bible says nothing about navy blue. You know, those stupid things we fight about, you know? You shouldn't like blue. You should like red. You know? No. You base your conviction on the word of God. And then I tell you, let people, and the word of God will protect you as well, because the word of God will give you wisdom to know when to shut up on certain subjects. Amen. Thank you. I've got two people that agree. I love God's word. All right, let's go. Verse 24, it says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, his name, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him. Now, can you imagine the excitement? Thomas showed up, and the disciples like, Thomas, Jesus is alive. You know, everybody's excited about it. And Thomas, what is like? Thomas is like, well, guys, I don't know what you're talking about, but unless I, what did he say? It says, but he replied, I won't believe it until I see it. You know, in here, in this verse, there are two things we can learn. You know, people talk about doubting Thomas. And like, oh, Lord, I don't want to be like doubting Thomas. Seriously, yeah, we don't want to doubt. We want to trust the Lord. We want to believe what God says. What God says you are, that's who you are. And I tell you, there's going to be a revolution in your mindset the moment you start believing God's word, what he says you are. The moment you start seeing kingdom, the moment you start having a kingdom perspective on life, your whole behavior will be different, even in the midst of trouble. because you're not going to live by what you see. You're going to live by faith. So now here's Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas wanted an encounter. This is the other side of these verse here. Thomas said, I'm not going to take your word for it. I don't care about pastor reading the Bible every day. I don't care every Sunday. I mean, I do care. You know what I mean, all right? I should say maybe you use the word. I do care, but you know what? Until I read it for myself, I don't. That's why I tell you, read. Be like Thomas right here. Until I read it. Until I encounter Jesus. I hear them talking about 5 days in the presence of the Lord, 24 hours in the presence of the Lord. But guess what? I want to encounter Jesus too. I don't want to take your word for it. I want it for myself. This is Thomas right here. Because I know sometimes we love to, it's so easy to be like, come on, Thomas, you should believe. As a matter of fact, Jesus, jumping in verse 27, it says, Jesus said again, appeared in the midst. He said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, there you go, buddy. Put your fingers here. Look in my hands. Put your hand into the wounds in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Then Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Jesus told him, you believe now because you see me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. So this is it. This is the truth. Blessed are those who believe. But at the same time, I told you, sometimes don't just take people's word for it. Read it for yourself. Go after it. Do your best to encounter Jesus. Verse 30, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miracles, signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Chapter 21. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon, Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples. You got it. Verse 3. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. I'll come too, they all said. Have you ever find yourself in a situation where you're discouraged and your tendency is to go to your comfort zone or go to something you're very comfortable with? Okay? This reminds me of a story back in 2014, 15. I was just, in ministry in Haiti. It was hard. I felt like, man, Lord, how can I do this? I felt like I can't do this. And then in my mind, I'd be dreaming of a job. Men needs dreams. And I was just dreaming. Actually, it was amazing. That same year, I was in Pennsylvania, and someone called me. He's like, hey, Ricardo, I have a job for you. And they explained the job description. And they said, as a matter of fact, we'll fly you to Florida and we'll pay for everything for you so you can go to a training. And this is how much we're going to pay you. Now remember, God called me to be a missionary. And at the same time, I'm like 4 or 5 years into it and I'm thinking, God, man, this is just, I feel like I'm wasting my life. I'm young. I'm thinking, I'm looking at the money. I'm thinking my future. I'm like, Lord, come on, man. So I wanted to go back to default, something that brings me comfort. Because Peter, the disciples right there, you remember the dream they had? Jesus said, I'm going to die. Can you remember? Okay, go with me in your mind. How awesome the disciples felt when Jesus fed the 5,000, 4,000 twice.
I mean, I can imagine them behind doors. They're like, man, this is the leader we've been looking for, man. I mean, Peter, talking to John, is like, John, man, don't you feel? He was the dead man, the Messiah.
But they didn't have it right in their mind. They thought Jesus was going to come and be their physical king, overthrow Rome. They didn't get it. And then came Good Friday, Jesus died. Can you imagine their hope? Not only that, the night before Jesus died, at the Last Supper, Jesus said, guys, tonight every one of you gonna desert me. Deep inside, when Peter said, Lord, what are you talking about? Peter looked at Jesus in the face, he's like, even if everybody betray you, never. He meant it. I believe he was serious and sincere. But he couldn't do it. Why? Because he didn't have the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit. What happened next? The tomb is empty. What happened next? It is completely impossible to overcome your sin, your shortcoming, without the power of the Holy Spirit, even if you have the will. Even if you feel like, oh yes, I'll never do this. Oh yes, I'm going to remain faithful to God. But until you receive, you put yourself in a position for Jesus to do. Until he blow in your heart, in your soul, and the power of God is boiling in, you will fail. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to fail. He wants us to strive to serve God with our own strength. So when I got the call, I told my wife, I said, honey, this is it. This is what I've been dreaming about. Kendra said, I don't think so. You know, this woman, God bless her. She said, I don't think so. I said, well, I do think so. Because, I mean, who else would bring me this such opportunity, things I've been thinking about, you know. And at the same time, honey, I've got 4 or 5 guys that can take my place. And I'm thinking, you know, those guys at the time, ministry was, I raised guys. Those guys, I could remove myself and give it to them. I even talked to PK, you know. Hey, PK, this is what's happening, and I want to, PK, you know, he's good. He doesn't force you. He's like, well, what God wants you to do, you need to know what God wants you to do. So I flew to Florida, went to a 10-day seminar. I was excited. I'm looking at this dollar sign. I'm like, yeah, finally. It was good, man. Went to the seminar day one, day two, day three. We're good. Day 5, I'm sitting here and that's in the seminar, and the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, Ricardo, what are you doing here? I felt death. I felt so sad. I felt, wow, are you serious, Jesus? Are you like serious? This is like... And he said again, what are you doing here? That was the question. And I knew at that time, it wasn't God's will for me to go fishing. It wasn't his will. That's why I tell you here. Peter feels, they're feeling discouraged. Jesus comes and goes. They're not sure what the future holds. And all of a sudden, Peter's like, well, guys, you know what? I need purpose. I need vision. I need, you know, I'm going fishing. I'm going to something that I know I'm good at. I'm going to something that I know I will succeed. Oh, there are things. Speaking from experience, I'm a leader, type A leader. I'm a builder. I know there are things I know there are things that I know I can do. But at the same time, God is like, dude, he does that to you, you know? It's like, not your plan, dude. It's my plan. And then when it's God's plan, you have to trust, right? When it's your plan, you can plan your day, right? I wake up this time, I do this, I do that, I do this, do that. But then, when it's God's plan, there's no 1, 2, 3. You could think one is here, and then it's like number 7 there, and one is over here. This is where trust comes in place. Am I making sense? Let's go fishing. And everybody says, you know what, Peter, you are so right. It's time to go fishing. But look at what Jesus did. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, verse 4. But the disciples couldn't see who he was. Why? Well, if you look at the Bible right here, this verse, they couldn't see it because they were focusing. They were, first of all, discouraged, but then they were focusing on trying to create something that brings them life. Then he said, he called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" Until you are in God's center, in God's his will, even at work. I'm going to talk about that with you guys Saturday. Even work, you can't just work to work. It's got to be in, God wants you to do something that brings glory to him. And your job shouldn't be just something you make money. Because that's how you make your life, okay? But your job should be a place for you to honor God and to make disciples. You know? I'll add more on that. All of you guys come. Fellows, have you caught any fish? I know right now a lot of people are worrying about their future. Finance, you know, the world is, there's a lot of uncertainty. And let me remind you today. God reminded me of that 2 weeks ago. Your insurance, you really insured in Jesus. And that, you have to trust it. Take it or leave it. We do plan for the future. We're not unwise. But true insurance comes only from him. That's why. Rebuke worries. Live by faith. It is completely impossible to please God unless you're living by faith. You must believe him. Then verse 6 says, he said, throw out your net on the right hand side of the boat and you will get some. So they did. And they couldn't even haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. This is prosperity from the Lord. When you remain where God planted you, you will prosper. You will prosper. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his tunic on and then ran and then jumped to verse 10. It says, Jesus said, bring some of your fish you just caught. Jesus said, bring some fish. Verse 11. Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. What does this tell us here? There's a verse in Proverbs. Just remind of it. Remember it. When God bless you, what God bless you with, it brings no sorrows. When God bless you with a woman, with a man, of course you're going to, until you really get each other, there's going to be trouble. But when God bless you with something, there's no sorrow that comes with it. But when you're trying to enrich yourself, trouble comes, worries. That's what this verse is saying right here. Not only they spent all night, they didn't catch anything, but when Jesus provided, there was peace that came with it. A great principle right there of prosperity. Now come here and have some breakfast. remember this. Jesus said none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter. Of course, you know, it's like me knowing the story, I was just like just anxious to know what happened. What happened to Peter? You remember what happened to Peter? Peter denied Jesus a couple days ago. Judas sold Jesus a couple days ago. I mean, who did the worst? Judas or Peter? Well, we know we can't answer that because sin is sin. They all deny Jesus. As a matter of fact, all 12 of them disown Jesus. But Judas' sin didn't lead him back to life. He led them to shame and death. But Peter went back to the Lord. This goes to tell you, God is waiting on us to restore us. When you screw up, when you mess up, do not listen to the Pharisees who wants to put a bunch of guilt on you. Come to Jesus. Don't run away. I know our tendency is when we mess up, we want to run away from the light. Don't run away from the light. When you're weak, when you feel like you don't want to come to church, guess what? Call me. Say, "Pastor, I don't want to come to church today. Would you come pick me up?" I know, I'm not talking about those days you were completely exhausted. But I'm talking about those days the enemy really wants to bring you down. Like COVID did with a bunch of people. Thank God if you're watching online. Praise the Lord. I will tell you, it's a great resource for people what to watch online. But it's not enough. You can't do church online. And that's one of the principles we're going to learn today. Jesus taught us something. What did he taught us? One of the things he taught us, he modeled community. Jesus modeled community. I'll get there. Let me continue to read. He modeled community. What happened after the cross, after the tomb was empty? He asked, this is the encounter between Jesus and Peter. He asked Peter, "Man, can you imagine someone betrayed you?" Oh, thank God. Guys, Jesus, he's still the same. He loves you and I the same. Look at this. Peter, Jesus said, "Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these? You love me?" Now, remember, Jesus, he's awesome. I just love God. The night before Jesus died, he told everybody, the disciples, "Guys, tonight all of you will scatter. You're going to disown me." And everybody looked at each other. "Is it me? Is it me? Is it no, no, no." And then Peter, who was more like kind of the bold guy, he thinks, "Well, you know what? Even if everybody does, it's not going to be me." Can you imagine the guilt, the shame? I mean, I would feel better. I would rather be in John's position who didn't say anything and disown Jesus. Can you imagine? You say, "You know what? I'm with you, man." But then when when the rubber hits the road, you realize, "Huh? Right now? No, I don't know it. I tell you, I don't know him." Because his life was on the line. And then here's Jesus, days later, encountering Peter, asking him, "Peter, do you love me?" By the way, Peter already knew what God's talking about. And Peter, you know, this is what happens when you encounter Jesus. You become humble. The more you encounter Jesus, the more you realize it's not your strength. Oh, it's his strength. The more I encounter Jesus, the more I realize, "Man, oh, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. You're my righteousness. God, I need you." That's what happened to Peter here. Verse 16, Jesus repeat the question again. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Peter." "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." Lord, you know. Jesus, a third time, asked Peter, you know, do you, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. And then he said, Lord, you know everything. I believe this is a great lesson for all of us to really come to God the way we feel. Frustrated, discouraged, burdened. You know, Lord, you just know, you know how I feel. Lord, I'm really mad right now. And this is why I'm mad. Lord, I'm really discouraged right now. And allow him to come and minister to you, because God's purpose is for you to grow out of the position you are that's bringing you discouragement. Peter was hurt. Now listen to this. Jesus said, feed my sheep. This is the call. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dress yourself whenever you want to go. But when you're old, you will stretch. You will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Of course, this verse here explained that Jesus was telling Peter how he would die. You know, among the disciples, all of them died a horrible death. Except for John. And John, you know, they exiled him to the island of Patmos. But Peter was the only guy that they decided they're going to crucify it on a cross. But then Peter said, you know what, come on, I'm not worthy to die in the same position as my Lord. So therefore, I'm okay. I'm okay to die, because death, where's your sting? Death is a gain. It's like, well, you nailed me on the cross, but make sure you put that cross upside down. There are many examples in the scripture to prove that Jesus rose from the dead. What happened next? That's a good question for us to try to answer. But like I said earlier, Easter might be over, but what it means for you and I matters year long, year round. I don't want us to be a church who just come and celebrate Jesus, celebrate Easter, we get all excited, and then Easter is over. I'm going to live this Christian life. Poor me, miserable me. There's no life. I'm so miserable. I'm so sad. No! Jesus is alive! You live the fullness of the gospel. There's power to set you free from whatever is holding you down. You are free to be. You are free to dance. You are free to shout. You are free. You're free to live where you're at. You're free to love people. That's what I'm talking about. What happened next? The tomb is empty, yeah. Hallelujah. But what happened? What happened to your life? He breathed on the disciples. He wants to breathe on you. Breathe on you right now. He wants to heal you. He wants to... Listen, Jesus is coming back. Is your pack ready? Is your suitcase ready? There's a lot of distraction online. A lot of distraction on the news. Fight, people fighting each other. Churches fighting each other. Get in the Word. Wash your robe. Wash your mind. Get involved in a home group. If this is your local church, get involved in a home group. Do life, do things that grows, that put you in a position to grow spiritually. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus conquered death forever. Never forget that. Always remember this. He conquered death in your life. What are some things that brings death in your life? Well, cut it down. You can't do them by yourself? Well, find accountability. It wasn't meant to be for you to do life, the Christian life, without help. There's a lot of things that happen. I mean, right there, I just read a bunch of verses that shows you. But I want to finish with a couple of them just to point out. Jesus showed up. That's a fact. Homework, read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jesus showed up. He eased his disciples' doubt. What are some of the things that you're doubting on today? What are some of your doubts? Are you doubting about the future? Are you worrying about your future, your grandchildren, your children, your marriage? What is it? Jesus wants to ease your doubt this morning. Would you let him say, "Peace be unto you"? You know, thank God that he didn't shout his love from heaven, but he came down and showed it to us. And he's sending you out. You know what we say? We say, every time we're talking about forgiveness, the subject of forgiveness is such an awesome subject. Because yes, man, God, forgive me, hallelujah, until I have to forgive this person. They say, okay, I guess, I'm not ready. Have you ever talked to somebody that says, "I'm not ready to forgive yet"? Now, forgiveness is not forgetting. But forgiveness, if you want to experience God's forgiveness, you must forgive. Today, Jesus wants to do the same with you and I. Would you let him? He wants to ease your doubt. And that's an invitation to you to trust him. The invitation is for you to trust him. I trust Jesus. Would you say that? Come on, I invite you. Just say, "I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. We trust you. Father, we trust you here. We trust you." I don't know what situation you're saying you trust him for, but you're saying, I trust you. Maybe that situation is just kind of, you know, fighting, making you afraid. You say, "Lord, I trust you." Jesus modeled community from breaking bread on the road of Emmaus to having breakfast on the beach with his disciple. We see Jesus make time for relationship. The church is relationship. And I'm going to say it again. Make time for relationship. Our church, we value home groups. If you can't go to a home group, make sure you go out for breakfast with somebody. Make sure you do life, you do life somewhere. Don't just, you know, don't just come here on Sunday. If this is your local church, don't just come here. We want relationship. You can't do life by yourself. You know, you see those people, you know, "I was sick, nobody ever called me." And the thing is, I know maybe not all of you have this mindset. It's, remember, I've been a pastor for a while. Sometimes you have people, they're sick, their home group went to see them, their cell group prayed with them, and the cell leader went to the hospital, they do it. But unless the pastor goes, they've never seen the church. And they say, "Man, these people," you know who they're talking about? The pastor. That's a religious mindset. Because I tell you, when you are in home group or you are in relationship with somebody, when you have something going on in your life, oh, I'll know. You know why? Because I'm in touch with Ange. If Ange knows, she'll tell me. I'm in touch with Kathy, Kendra. You know, I'm in touch with Peggy. I'm in touch with somebody. I meet with my cell leader. Somebody's going to tell me, "Yeah, you know, so-and-so is going so-and-so." You know, there's a lady, Martha. Every time Lorraine goes see her, I get an update. You know, and sometimes it's been a while. I haven't gone see her. And it's like when I talk to Lorraine, "Oh, that's right, I got to go see Martha." But praise God that Lorraine, it's just like it's her call to go see her. And I love all of you. I will come see you. But if I don't, and Melissa's been seeing you, guess what? Praise the Lord. She represents me. Jesus modeled community. I say all this to say, let's value community. This is our community. Restoration Church is your community. we do life. Find time to do life. Even once a month, meet with some people. Once a month, go to a home group. If you're not part of a home group, ask around or start one. Jesus confronted the broken. That's a good example. He confronted Peter. I know in church, one of the things that really hurt the church is people run away from conflict. Here in this church, we don't. As a matter of fact, me, I'll be on your face. Those of you who know me, until you tell me, get off, get away from me. Now, if you say this, guess what? I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm good. I've done my part. But I love you so much to not let you live in your brokenness. And I hope you do the same thing for me. If you see I'm doing this, come talk to me. Oh, yes. Because I'm not in heaven yet. If I'm not be careful, you might go and I stay. I don't take this for lightly. Number four, Jesus redeemed mistakes. Here in this place, in this church, we do not hold your past against you. So stop it. We don't see your past. You confessed. You've forgiven. You know, sometimes the hardest thing is for us to forgive ourselves and move on. It's like everybody says, come on, it's done. 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 Done deal. We're done. Done. And then you always bring it up. It's done. What can't you get? In English, it's so simple. It's done. We don't talk about it anymore. Jesus instructed and empowered. And now these, I'm going to be talking more about that later. But what a great example. The tomb is empty. Yes, what happened next is so hopeful. And the book of Acts is the only book in the Bible that has no end. Every other book in the Bible has an end, has a closure. Amen. Yes, come Lord Jesus. Amen. The book of Acts doesn't. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is still working. The Holy Spirit still wants to use you to establish his kingdom on this earth. Anybody wants to join me to say, yes, Lord, do it with me. Let's stand together. Thank you, Father. Father, we say today, just do it with us. Just lift up your hands. Say, Father, do it with me, Lord. Father, thank you that the tomb is empty, but yet we have hope. We have hope in you. What a friend we have in you. We love you, Father. Thank you for your word this morning. Father, as we step in the next room to continue fellowship with one another, to eat and bless Quinn and Laura and just get to know each other better, Lord, we pray that your kingdom would continue to come and your presence would be so sweet in our midst. And your presence would continue to work in our hearts. Lord, we believe and accept your word today. Bless this food that we're about to eat and bless our time together. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people say, amen.